listening to Helping Those with DID, a podcast of Lydia Discipleship Ministries. Thank you for your desire to gain more understanding of how to best help those with dissociative issues. You can visit our website at www.lydiadm.org. And now, let's listen in.
Greetings, everyone. This is Lindy, and I'm on staff at Lydia Discipleship Ministries. I'm here with Dr. Elaine, and I'm really excited to lean in and learn a lot today. Hi, Dr. Elaine. I'm so glad to be here with you.
Hi, Lindy. Great to be here.
So we've talked together in recent podcasts about various aspects of healing from DID, but today I thought maybe we could rewind a bit and try to actually better understand what someone with DID might be going through on a daily basis. I'm thinking that this could be especially helpful for friends or mentors. I know that for a while I was a mentor to some trafficking survivors that were experiencing DID, and I so wish I had better understood their day-to-day experiences. So I'm looking forward to sharing this content with others that might be in my shoes now. So I feel like you're in such a unique place to offer this podcast because you have experienced this in your own life, and you've also walked with so many individuals in their healing journey. How do you feel about that joint perspective?
I think it's really helpful because there's a level of understanding that a person comes with when they've experienced something. Like, I've never been married, so I've never been divorced, so I've never experienced the betrayal of divorce. And I might have an idea of what that anguish is like, but not having experienced it, I really need someone to fill me in a little bit better so I could minister in that situation. And the same is true about understanding what's going on for those with DID.
Wonderful. So we've got the right person at the microphone today for this topic. And I know that you have some different descriptors that might explain a little more about what someone's going through. And I'm just going to ask you to start walking through those with us and sharing some of those things that you are aware of.
All right, Lindy. I think the first thing I was going to mention is something that's really pernicious. It really overarches everything else, I think. And that is the mind noise that the person with DID experiences. There's a constant confusion going on in the mind. For example, if you were to put the radio on a radio station and then about 1 second later switch it to another channel and then another channel's got static in it and back and forth, that's a little bit of a description of what's going on in the DID mind. There can be from the parts and also any demonic involvement, there can be blasphemes going on and lewd thoughts or pictures and snapshots of past traumas. And that constant confusion that is there makes me really think that anyone who is able to function at all when they have DID, it's just amazing. Because with all that going on, for example, someone trying to hold down a job, and this mind noise is just so overpowering. Another thing is there's a sense of movement, usually. And what I mean by that is either a sense of circling or a sense of just emotion, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And what I think the purpose of that is, in the person with DID's mind, it's she's trying to stay calm. And somehow that motion, I'm not sure what is happening in the brain, but that motion serves to at least keep things a little bit calm. On the other hand, it hides any of the enemy's work. Sometimes that emotion is so embedded in the person's mind that the enemy can hide and be doing things that the person doesn't realize. Another thing is the terror that's inside. We're not just talking about fear, but terror. One of the intense fears is of insanity. I've never met a DID that at some point, talking to someplace inside, didn't really believe they were going insane. There's a panic that comes. In terms of when a person is switching, let's see if I can give a sort of a snapshot of what that feels like. There's no sense of control. It's like you realize at some point, it may not be initially in your healing that you experience it this way, but there is a sense of going down or going under, sort of like in a swimming pool and you sense you're about to go under the water and you have no control over it. And that can cause a sense of panic. Also, there can be a seething, and I choose my words carefully, a seething volcano of rage. We're not talking about anger. We're talking about rage. Something within us says this is wrong or that was wrong. And there's ways of keeping that volcano from erupting. And those are the coping skills, whether it's that motion or whether it's allowing a dominant part to sort of come up to the front and calm things a bit so that the volcano doesn't erupt. And there's also unique spiritual issues. The system inside can be filled with distortions and lies. Distortions about God, distortions about themselves. And you probably know, especially in SRA, that the Bible is often used in a twisted way in the ceremonies. And so it's linked with the terror and the atrocities, and sometimes is even used as justification for them. So the result is that the person fears the Bible. One lady that I know was in our R&R Rebuilding and Renewing discipleship class for almost a whole year before she could hold a Bible. Myself, when I was at the beginning of my healing, I still have the Bible. I had to have the cover renewed because if somebody handed me a Bible, I would throw it against the wall. I just couldn't even touch it. So those spiritual issues might be going on. And also, there is a passivity in the person's will. Because if you think about it, if there's a friendly dad wrestling with his sons and he's very wise and they're wrestling and then he pins them down and he doesn't keep them down, but he lets them up. But that feeling of being pinned down and no release can be also have a strong impact on the person's will. By that, I mean, if you've tried everything and nothing matters, your choices don't matter, no matter how much you fight, things go on anyway. It's almost as though you give up in your will. And it's sort of the ultimate emotional deadness. There can be counterfeit spiritual, quote unquote, or psychic experiences going on. The ability to eliminate pain, for example. I know of a grandmother who helped to what was called draw pain. If someone had a pain or a result from trauma, she would just cup her hand and run it over the wound, and it would miraculously disappear. Just a psychic power to do that healing. And I wanted to take a quick minute and mention one other thing here, and that's mind travel, astral projection. That's where the person is somewhere like in one room, and then suddenly it seems as though she's up, going up in the air and leaving her body, and she goes somewhere else. Whether it's a room next door, where there's some other people or whatever. And I really think that we need to be careful in understanding astral projection, because I don't believe that a person can leave their body like that and travel. I know when there's trauma, there's often that dissociative issue, dissociative event. But what I think is happening is a wicked spirit within the first person is communicating with a wicked spirit in the other room or the other person. The reason that I'm making a point of it is I think we need to be clear that Satan is limited in what he can do. And psychic experiences, for example, like pre-knowledge or clairvoyance, as it's called, there's smoke and mirrors going on there. And I think we need to be aware of that. But the person may not be aware. The person may think that everything that's spiritual must be from God. So that adds to the confusion and the distortions in the mind. Just the last couple of things. There is a spiritual component when there's been SRA abuse, and that is curses or covenants have been made for the person, not by the person necessarily. We won't go into a lot of detail here, but that blocks spiritual growth and moving forward. And one of the things that you can do is ask the Lord, are there any curses that have been placed against this person? And if the Lord brings to your mind that maybe there are, I love that if prayer, if there are any curses against this person, we nullify them in the name of our God. We need to remember that Satan is a counterfeiter, and Satan is not the most powerful one. Our God is. I hope that's helpful, Lindy.
It is, Elaine, and it gives me so much compassion for the experiences someone may be having. I think as a friend or mentor, sometimes we might get a little impatient or not understand why someone's responding the way they are as we're trying to walk beside them. And just hearing this and hearing what that experience could be like on a day-to-day basis really helps my heart to take a moment and offer that empathy and understanding. And so I love that you've offered this. It also makes me thankful for our other podcasts where we look at things like healing and spiritual warfare, because you've shared so much here. And friends that are listening, I think that's a great reminder to listen to those as well in conjunction with this, to look at what happens next then in this person's life and in the lives of those that are helping them, to offer that other side of where we're at. One last thing I wanted to say is that these topics are found on the Lydia Discipleship website, lydiadm.org. And then under the section titled Articles, we actually have a list of these topics that Dr. Elaine talked about today on understanding the DID mind, as well as others that we've touched on in the past. So we encourage you to take a look at those, and we look forward to being with you again soon.
You can visit our website for resources at www.lydiadm.org.